So, good morning, everyone. Today I have with us Dr. Darris, who works at Boston Children's Hospital, and I'm going to begin this interview. So, one of our first questions is, how has your daily routine changed since COVID-19 outbreak, and in what ways has your job and responsibilities changed?
Well, I used to be somebody who would go to work every day and use my office at the hospital, not only on weekdays, but also on weekends. So it's not unusual for me to do my academic work on Saturdays and Sundays. But I was more productive at the hospital, so I was not using my home office. Since then, I had to stay home and start using my home office, which needed some changes. For example, my desktop had not been changed since year 2000. I had Windows Millennium, for example. And my printer was not working, so I urgently had to buy some hardware to be able to do my work from home. So I had to buy a printer, a new printer, a scanner, and so on, to allow me not only to do virtual visits from home using my laptop, but also I have to sign orders for the research visits. So what we did, my clinical research coordinators, they would email me the forms. I would complete them and sign them, then scan them and email them back to them. So things have changed dramatically, but the most important part is the fact that I'm confined at home and I cannot see patients in the clinic. We have to do virtual visits, which is not a simple thing to do.
And I know with us in our clinical trials, we're all at home working on that. How does that affect, like, the progress of the trials and all our data collection and stuff?
Well, it has had some impact because although the research unit is open and visits can be conducted, we have families who refuse to come in because of the coronavirus. They were afraid that they may contract the virus by coming to the hospital. And so we had some cancellations, but what we've done, for patients who want to come in, the visits continue. So we're able to collect as much information as possible. For patients who are in a clinical trial that involves a medication taken by mouth, we had to do virtual visits for them and have the medication shipped to them.
Okay. So in the long run, it should turn out okay. It's just for right now, it's a little more difficult.
Yeah, it is a little more difficult. It's not the way it used to be because, as I said, some visits are not done. All the information collected by phone or by Zoom is not exactly the information we collect when we're in the hospital, for example. It's hard to do clinical evaluations, to do tests like Hammersmith and Chopping Tent and so on. So in that regard, we're restricted. But at least we continue to do as much as we can in the research area.
And then I guess you've been working from home, but has there been any support from BCH to this transition of working from home? Are there, like, different softwares and things that you had to use or have, like, with protections of that?
Yeah, we use software. The predominant tool is Zoom, but has been... they have added some security features. For example, you cannot just click and get in. You have to enter a password in that to preserve confidentiality and prevent people from coming in and stealing, you know, or interfering with the visits.
How have patients been responding to telemedicine? Do they find it as, you know, helpful, or do they kind of find it frustrating?
They seem to like it. I mean, I haven't asked everybody, but they don't seem to object as long as you have a computer or a laptop and they know how to use it. And young people usually know how to do that. So it has been accepted by our patient population. It's just that for new cases, it has been difficult in my specialty. Yeah. And the reason is that quite often we rely on the physical exam to make decisions. So if a patient comes in and says, I have weakness and I cannot do a physical exam, then I cannot actually make decisions because I don't know whether there's weakness or not. Yeah. So in those cases, we cannot actually do a virtual visit reliably. It's very difficult.
And I know also we have a lot of international patients. Has that affected their care at all? Like, have they had to go back to their home countries, or have they mostly stayed here?
The vast majority, I mean, are you talking about research or clinical patients?
Both, I guess.
Yeah, for research, for example, we have to keep them here, not because of travel restrictions, but because we're afraid that if they go back to their home countries and the child comes down coronavirus, it might be a problem coming back to continue to do the visit. So if for the few international families we have, we decide to keep them in the area. Now, for clinical patients, that's something that I don't know very well, but I'm suspecting that most of our patients are staying here in the Boston area.
And then another question we had was, do you feel that training prior to this outbreak prepared you and other staff for everything that's happening now? Or was there additional training that was needed, and how did that work?
There was no training before the pandemic, because no one was expecting this. But it was not very difficult to be trained. I mean, we had used Zoom before, so it was not the first time. So it was not very difficult to be trained, because most of my colleagues, they're seeing patients virtually, and a large number of them.
Okay. And then, what is the thing that you are most concerned about right now in terms of the pandemic, with work or with personal life and resources, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, this is concerning because we don't know when this pandemic is going to end and when the mitigation restrictions will be lifted. We don't know that at this point. We don't know whether this scenario is going to repeat itself next fall or next winter, or whether this will continue for a number of years. So in that regard, it is scary, because it's probably one of the few times where we're having not just a healthcare crisis, but also an economic crisis. I'm not talking specifically about myself, but in general for the society, this is a big problem because people cannot go to work, basically. I mean, we're fortunate to be able to do our work from home, at least do most of our work from home. But there are people who cannot actually do any work. If you're working, let's say, at Starbucks, then you cannot go there anymore. So these people have lost their jobs, and this is why you have millions of people applying for unemployment.
Yes, that is a very big concern for most people. One of the other questions we had was, how has the sense of community at the hospital changed through all this? Because obviously some of you are home working through telemedicine, some of you are actually in the hospital. So How has that kind of shifted the dynamics in the hospital?
Well, the hospital has been smart in creating these virtual meetings almost on a daily basis. There's always something happening. So, for example, there is today at 12 o'clock, we have grand rounds on COVID-19. So that's an opportunity for people to come together, even virtually, and listen, let's say, to the presentation. Or there are meetings, department meetings that happen virtually, and we get updates about the situation of what's happening, you know, whether we're taking new measures, whether something should change on the way in the way we see patients, and so on and so forth. So it seems to me that if anything, the community has probably been strengthened because even before there were people who work in the satellites who I would never see, but now you see them participate in this virtual meeting. So it hasn't had a major negative impact in that area.
Did you think that action was taken soon enough in regard to the pandemic? Was all of this action to protect healthcare workers and patients sufficient, or should more have been done and at a quicker rate?
Well, I think the world was caught unprepared, and not just the U.S. but many countries, as you know, around the world, were not prepared for something like this. It may have to do with the fact that, unfortunately, we did not get enough information from the World Health Organization in China. There was no transparency. People knew that this thing was highly transmissible, and the world was not informed about it. You know, as you know, sometime in January, the World Health Organization was telling us that it's not transmitted from human to human. So I think that some time was lost because people were caught asleep, because they were distracted by other things, because there were concerns about the economy and the stock market. So it is, you know, we could have acted perhaps a month earlier, but it's very hard to say that after the event, after having all the information now, because the situation was not very clear back in January and for most of February, I think.
And going along with information not being very clear, have you found that a lot of people have common misconceptions about coronavirus? Have people been responsive to efforts of lockdown, or has it more been like trying to get people to understand the severity of all of this?
I think most people are staying home or are working from home if they can. But what I hear is that if you go to a supermarket, you find people pushing shopping carts around without gloves. They don't wear masks. They don't protect themselves. And by doing so, they don't protect the others. So I feel that although the lockdown has been somehow successful, and it will probably continue, I just feel that some people, they don't quite understand this, how serious this thing is, based on what I hear. I haven't been to the bank, I haven't been to the supermarket, but my wife has been in the supermarket a few times. And she was very surprised to see how people were behaving, as if they were totally naive about it. And it is very, very serious, because this virus is very virulent and also gets transmitted very easily from one person to the other.
Yeah. I guess our one final question that I want to ask is, obviously this has been very tolling because everyone has been taken out of their routines. What support, if any, has there been for healthcare providers like yourself or patients to kind of get them through all of these changes?
I think the I can speak about our hospital, and I think they've done as much as they could, given the existing shortages in protective equipment called PPE. Somehow they're able to manage to find masks and all this. So for about a month ago, we were told that we get to the hospital, you have to wear a mask. So when we're walking to the hospital, if you're waiting there, they will ask you to whether you have any symptoms of a COVID-19 infection, like fever, cough, and things like that. And they would give you a mask to wear. So I think that the hospital has done its best. They were able to get enough N95 masks for people who do intubation, get exposed to droplets from patients. And also they managed to get a sterilizing machine to sterilize the N95 masks. So at least at Children's, we've done very well.
Thank you so much. I'm going to